Hello, everybody, and welcome to Whispers Radio here on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. I'm Jordan Klein. He is Nick Queen. She is the lovely Lola Miller. Howdy, Lola.
Hello, you guys. And I'm sorry. I know I jumped right on you and started.
I know.
But what's a work wife for anyway?
I know, right?
You don't have a real one. I'm gonna be off.
Give us a call. 304. Oh, I heard you. You were on.
Oh, good.
Yeah, thank you.
Make sure I.
Give us a call. 304-214-1600. If you're out of the area, 1-866-514-1600. Just for the heck of it, I'll tell you what the temperature is. It's 81 degrees.
It's hot.
It was supposed to rain today, I think.
Tonight.
I'm glad it didn't.
Well, tonight. I mean, it's rained every night. I got up this morning again, and the streets were all wet, but I have no idea when it did.
Really?
Yes. You didn't hear, Mike. We have a poor man's beach and poor man boats.
Explain.
What happened now?
This beach area there on the island that the dogs always swam in.
Okay.
So I decided... Should have thought of this a month ago. I'd be as brown as a little butternut right now if I had. But we decided last week that, wow, we should get air mattresses. You know, like pool floaties. That's what they're called here. I always call them air mattress. So we went shopping for one on Saturday. Deluxe Toy and Hobby, greatest toy store in this valley.
I love it.
Yes.
I love that place. That's awesome.
Oh, I know it. Three floors of just... everything and anything that a kid would love, that adults would love. It's so cool. But anyway, we got our little floaties there, $4 a piece.
There you go.
And spent all day Sunday floating on the river. And of course, I forgot to use sunscreen. So Sunday night, I was a hurting puppy. But how nice it is just laying there and you just float. You kind of drift a little downstream. You paddle a little bit up and the dog plays in the water and runs through the shrubbery and... Oh, it's so nice. So we have a poor man's beach on poor man boats.
Hey,
it's so cool.
That's what makes vacation worth it.
Isn't that pathetic? That's my vacation? Wow.
The day you get off, you're laying in the river.
Yep. But it's really nice. And, people go, ooh, you don't swim in that water. Well, I'll tell you, growing up where I did, that water then... I mean, you'd go down this river, Clinton River is where we always kept our boat. And there would be soap suds coming up from the propeller. And I had, Daddy, look, what is that? Ah, it's just laundry soap. Because everything went into the rivers and Lake St. Clair and Lake Michigan and Lake Huron and Lake Erie. So, you know, I mean, there was a point when you couldn't eat anything that came out of those things. I mean, you can now. And I think that's how the Ohio River is. You know, it's silty. You know, but that's not ick. It's just silt, you know. But, yeah, how cool. But here's my question. My dog has got this strange obsession with this one spot. And it's just, it's probably 5 inches of water. And it's as you come in, you know, off the beach into the water. And she goes right to it every single time. The
really?
Exact same spot. Because every once in a while, little air bubbles come up. A little
really?
Trail of them. There's two places. So right away, my nephew says, oh, they're cooters, you know, baby turtles, and they're buried in the mud. So we do like a little shovel because we were going to take baby cooters home. But there's nothing there except like there's a lot of debris from previous floods and stuff. So there's huge chunks of like concrete and that kind of stuff. But I have no idea what could be causing these little bubbles. Now, I got scared, and I thought maybe there was, like, a body buried under there.
Yeah, you don't want to dig too deep.
Yeah, but...
the dog's trying to tell you something, not that it likes it.
But she's so obsessed with it, because those little bubbles come up, and she just digs and digs and digs trying to get to those little bubbles. But do you have any ideas of what it could possibly be? Because
coming from the Ohio River?
Huh?
Gas line maybe or something.
It's in the water.
I know we were up at the dam and there's a gas line that goes through there and there every now and then you'll see little bubbles come up.
Oh.
I think it's right underneath. It's going to the dam though, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's something that I might not be wrong.
Were like a gas, you know, maybe a gas line. I didn't actually put my nose in the water, But you would think that with them bursting, I mean, it's more than just one little bubble. It'll be a whole stream of them come up and then it'll stop. I haven't smelled anything bad.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. Sean keeps saying it's a cooter.
You are by the river, though. I'm sorry.
That the river doesn't smell.
Every now and then there's some kind of like fishy smell that comes off of it.
Oh, well, that fishy smell.
Well, if anybody listening has any clue what it could be, give us a call.
Baby cooters.
Put poor Lola's mind at ease. It's working overtime.
Well, but you know what's nice about it is she's so obsessed with this place that she doesn't run off.
There you go.
And then she'll swim all the way out to us and put her little head on the raft, and then she'll swim back. And I'm telling you, it's a wonderful place. I don't want to tell on the air where it's at because I don't want people coming.
Become Lola's beach.
That's right. That's right. It's my beach. That's really cool.
My island.
Yes.
Is that Braveheart? Sorry. All right. If anybody out there can help me with this, I made a deal with Lola that if I saw a chiropractor, that she would quit smoking.
Is this deal actually formal? I just threw that out there earlier.
She agreed.
Did she agree?
She agreed to it.
I didn't hear the agreement.
So if anybody out there knows a chiropractor, for the love of God, if you are a chiropractor, come to the station and crack me right now.
And Lola,
I'm in pain.
I know you are. You're walking still all sideways.
I'm hurting.
And
Lola might need an aggression counselor if she has to quit smoking.
Yes, that's true.
But if you know Goodwin, do it, and we'll save Lola's life.
Now, is that a life really worth saving?
Oh,
of course
yes.
It is. Oh.
But
there's a guy in Ireland right now just waiting.
Hey, I watch GHI every week, and I tell my sister ad nauseum, that's my boyfriend.
Uh-oh.
There's a call. Please be a chiropractor, please.
I can hear the cracking now.
I do want to mention a little bit of sad news. A firefighter brother of mine, his name was Jason Hawley, did pass away this morning. Tridelphia Volunteer Fire Department. If you knew him, if you know his family, would like to donate or give anything for, you know, his family, you can drop it off at the firehouse, and we will make sure that his family gets it. You knew him, you know, if you don't, just, you know, keep his family in prayers because it's a tough time.
Well, these are truly our heroes. These are the people that will come in and save you or save your cat or save your dog or save your children without even knowing your name.
And he was an amazing guy.
Yeah. So, absolutely. Absolutely.
Was that a chiropractor?
No, but it was a name. I'll give you the name off the air.
All right.
She's in Elm Grove.
That's even closer.
And there's also an acupuncturist.
Yes, we need to get it as close to out.
Now listen, I'm already hurting. I don't know about getting stabbed with stuff.
Oh, I had it done one time.
Really?
Did it help?
No.
What were you getting it done for? I've heard it for everything. I mean.
Oh, you can get it done to quit smoking, to diet.
We can
Mine
both.
Was
we can both
for
go.
Hip. My hip pain. Okay. Yeah.
Did your hip pain go away?
No. That's why I only had it done once.
But I had a million little needles stuck into my body. It was amazing. I wasn't thinking about my hip.
That's right.
That reminds me, Bill Engvall went to one of his comedy skits. He talks about going to an acupuncturist to try to stop smoking, and she put like all these different ones in, and then she put one like, I think it was like on his chest or something, and then it had a candle, and she lit it, walked out of the room, and then sitting
Whoa.
There smoking, and he's sitting there, where did she go? And he said it was burning down. He's like, you know, and I guess it burned him a little bit later, like later on when she took it. Like, oh, you big baby, you shut up, you know. He's like, but I'll say this, I stopped smoking.
I bet he did.
He said, I just had this feeling that, you know, if I start smoking, she's going to come around the corner and throw a needle at me. And that's what you get if you start smoking, you know. And he's
I've heard they can put them, like, for smoking, somewhere around your earlobe. And then every time you want a cigarette, you just kind of turn it a little bit, and it makes the urge go away.
Do you just keep it on your ear?
My,
you know, you got like this big stick coming out of your head.
Like
you
that. Like, yeah, a little, like a little tiny thing. I don't know.
If I'm getting stabbed in any kind of way, I'm getting a tattoo or something. I'm not.
Listen to this. So there you go, acupuncturist. Just put ink on the end of it and you'll be all there for it.
Then I can play Connect the Dots the rest of my life. What's that little
twister on Jordan's body?
Ladies.
Oh. No, forget it. That'd be too much fun for you.
What's the game where you got to fill in the boxes? You know what I mean? You make a line, and you fill in the box, and then you try to get... Never mind. Never mind. Somebody out there knows what I'm talking about, and we're sharing a moment right now.
I guess so. I hope it's good for you.
What you're talking about.
It happens.
Yeah.
We'll discuss it later.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to get Darren on. Should I get Darren on?
Surely.
So
this whole subject creeps me out.
Uh-oh.
We're getting a call, too. You want to get them? Mm-hmm. Get that before you get
probably. Car. It's probably this.
If we can get him adjusted on the air, it'd be great.
Get me adjusted?
Well, yeah, that's what they call, you know, they adjust your back.
The chiropractor?
Yeah.
Or the Ouija board?
One way or the other, we're going to get your back working tonight.
You did. You just shared a moment.
Okay.
Leo, go ahead.
Hey, it's Leo. I know what the box game is.
Thank you.
We just shared a moment.
We just had a moment right there, me and you, Leo.
The box game.
And what's it called?
Boxed in.
Boxed in. See, I was.
He
knows what I'm talking
right.
about.
How about this? Remember when you used to go, like, vacation with your parents?
Okay.
And a special pen and the paper, the like the little books you get at like like rest stop or
okay,
the magic ink.
Oh yeah,
that's where those boxes like got their start at, I think.
That's because you can't mark on anything else because
yeah
because it,
magic ink.
And then by the time the trip was done, like an hour in. You know, you fell asleep and your parents start doing it.
Yeah.
Mom's listening.
Yeah. Leo's mom always stole the book.
I think I know what you're talking about now.
It's like the clear marker, but it only writes on that paper.
Yeah. I think you can still buy those at Cracker Barrel.
Really?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Yeah, I know exactly what it is.
Oh, you guys, this moment, I don't know. It's just overwhelming for me.
I'm in.
Lola, our moment's going to be later, Lola.
Yes, I know, Leo. I keep waiting, honey.
There we
I'll
go.
See you guys later.
Thanks,
bye.
Leo. All right, what were you saying, Nick?
I just remember...
Aligning?
You would get an adjustment. That's what they call it.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
It's your adjusting...
Here we go.
Okay.
Leo's mom.
Leo's mom.
Hi.
Did you used to steal Leo's book?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
She borrowed it.
My mom did. We used to get those all the time for him, and then I found him up at Cracker Barrel, and I got him one, I think it was last year for his birthday. So, they're still around.
Grandma stole the book.
Yep.
That's great. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, hon.
Bye.
We're going to be getting calls all night. No, Grandma didn't steal it. I stole it. You know?
I stole the book.
We'll get you.
No, but I'm dead serious. If a chiropractor comes in here, I'll put the microphone right against my back and let everybody hear.
Are you saying, though, you're not going to go if they don't come in? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
What? Why are you scared of
that? I'd kind of rather wait for the MRI results. I mean, it's supposed to come Tuesday or tomorrow, Wednesday.
Oh, the MRI results?
Yeah.
After that, you're considering going, or
yeah,
you're pretty sure you'll go?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, good.
If it's not something serious that
is a commitment. We need to, you know, if he doesn't,
it's recorded.
You're gonna steal.
You got
this
my voice recorded as well.
Just gonna say I.
Jordan Klein. I got the Boy Scout.
Do solemnly swear he does have the Boy Scout.
Do solemnly swear.
Swear. That I will go to a chiropractor after I get the MRI.
That I will go to the chiropractor if the MRI comes back that there's nothing wrong with me.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Okay.
Okay, there we go. We got a sworn oath recorded. I think All right, well, you want to go ahead and take a quick break, and I'll call, because I just talked to him like 5 minutes ago, so 5-10 minutes.
Hold on.
Yeah, we'll get something ready.
Okay, we will.
All right, you're listening
to Let me answer this first.
Okay. This is the grandmother from.
I stole Leo's book. Wasn't?
No, I don't know who it was.
All right,
well, all right, everybody. Well, you're listening to Whispers Radio. We're having a good old time, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Whispers Radio here on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. I'm Jordan Klein. He's Nick Queen. She's the lovely Lola Miller. And, Nikki, why don't you introduce our guest?
I can do that. Darren Evans been researching what he calls the Zozo Ouija phenomenon. Started using a Ouija board when he was a teenager. Most frequent contact was with the spirit that called itself Zozo. Darren, you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you guys.
You know what? I before we even get started, this seems to be one of the... If someone always brings this up, I don't know how often. We were at our event, and they're like, do you think Zozo is going to be there? Like,
yeah, yeah.
What?
Well, there was that, and then we had a guest not too long ago, too, that even brought up, you know, oh, yeah, the Ouija board, Zozo, blah, blah, blah. And then we were like,
what?
Darren's right!
So... This comes up, you know, we had to have you back on to talk about this again, so.
You're... You know what, guys, you know, time and time again, the Ouija boards, they continue to stir up controversy over 100 years after they were patented, you know, and it just keeps happening, and it is not, you know, not just with this particular spirit, but other spirits as well are popping up on the internet. And it's unusual that a lot of them start with the letter Z and so forth. And so we're really, I mean, I've been keeping my eye on this for a long time. And I think the last time I was on the show was back in February.
Yeah.
And been quite a few things happen as far as the phenomena. It's a full-time job trying to keep up with this as far as how many people are reporting it and that type of thing. But it's, you know, I'm just an average Joe. I got a regular job, you know, and I don't do none of this for money or for fame or glory or nothing. I mean, I just study this stuff as far as how it's affecting people, the people that, you know, respond or they log on to my site after they've heard about it, you know, and it's just amazing the stories that I get in emails, and I try to post them on the blog as often as I can. But there really is something to this, guys. I think you, by what you said there, you're beginning to understand. You know, I was laughed out of chat rooms for years.
What?
Paranormal chat rooms and so forth. And in talking about this years ago, people just thought I was crazy. You know, it's pretty strange when so many people are reporting contact with this thing.
No. What is it that people are you know, kicking? You're getting laughed out of chat rooms. What are they saying against you?
Well, this was years ago when I first started writing about it, and you know, I was at that time I was starting to group and classify the stories as far as the Zozo stories that were on the internet, and when I started my blog in 2009. It was just basically there was probably about 10 different stories on the internet at that time in 2009, and I started noticing the stories in the late 90s. There was a few Zozo stories on the internet, but with the advent of the internet and the advent of all the, everybody being able to post, you know, Facebook, all these social networks and everything, people it's easier to communicate. It's easier for people to tell stories about this type of stuff. And so we're seeing more and more stories, you know, regarding this phenomenon, and it's just been a crazy deal, you know. Up to a lot of people, the idea of a spirit entity contacting hundreds, if not thousands, of people, I mean, it would seem like something out of a horror fiction novel. but that's what exactly seems to be the case in real life here as to what's going on. I can't quite put my finger on everything, but evidently I'm the guy that is trying to put it all together and trying to understand what's going on with this. So
now, do you believe, and let me, I was on the tail end of the show that is on before us. His name's Steve Novotny. We were discussing kind of what is a Ouija board? Like, do you think that both good and bad spirits can talk through? Do you think, you know, somebody's in heaven and they say, you know, paging, you know, Jesus, you got a message, you know? Or is it, you know, only evil spirits that kind of get through? Or is it just Zozo screwing with everybody?
Well, that's a great question. And the best way that I can possibly answer that is to just kind of to say that many throughout history and even today, many psychics and experienced spirit mediums, they believe in the reality of contact with unseen forces or unseen entities. It's often thought that the spirits of loved ones passed on can be communicated with during the Ouija board sessions, that non-human entities from alternate realities can make their presence known. So you've got two sides of the camp here. You've got the skeptics that dismiss it as simply an ideomotor effect, that you're actually contacting your subconscious or your unconscious mind, and that causes the movement of the planchet. But to me, in my experiences, I just can't really look at it from that view. I believe that there could be, you know, some of both going on as far as tapping into the unconscious or from an outside perspective. Now, you know, again, getting back to, is it all negative? No. I mean, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of reports that the Ouija sessions can result in positive outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that this is by possibly contacting an entity of higher levels of refinement. The entities that resonate with goodness and with moral substance. However, it seems that the division in the spirit world between the living and the dead, there seems to be like it's full of outlaws, it seems like. The ones that usually seem to come through the Ouija board are on a lower elemental plane, as a lot of people describe it, or, you know, deceased human beings that have lived their life filled with hate or lust or ignorance, intolerance. It's when these types of entities are contacted on the Ouija board is when it's believed that hauntings and paranormal activity and even possession can result. So, there's a fine line between what you get on these boards. In every session that I had, was it all negative? Of course not.
But was it all Zozo?
No. I've been able to contact spirits of different names and that type of thing. But here's once we start getting into and contacting that spirit, then yes, it seemed like every time we tried to get back on it and we tried multiple boards and everything, this thing would come back. And what I've noticed in other people's stories too is let's say they're speaking to a what you might say a mundane spirit, which the planchet doesn't move very much. It might move very slowly. And then as it begins to spell out words, and I've seen this personally, and I've actually had people email me this in their stories on the internet, where this supposedly mundane spirit will actually say Zozo is coming, and then
really?
A period of time will pass, and then all of a sudden the planchet just takes off like there's no tomorrow, and it abbreviates words. It takes shortcuts. It requires someone to stand over the board with a pencil and paper or whatever and actually record and transcribe the session because I know for me it used to go so fast and everything that I couldn't keep up with what it was saying. And we wouldn't have to ask it questions. It would just start rambling on. And that seems typical of a session where Zozo just kind of drops in. And nobody knows how or why or when this does happen. But in my research, I'm finding that it indeed does happen, that when this thing comes in, it's almost like the lower spirits or the higher spirits that maybe don't have that type of energy or whatever, or resonance, or it often warns the participants that it's coming. So it's a very strange deal. You know, and interesting, there's a psychic, Archie Roy. He was quoted as saying that using a Ouija board is like picking up total strangers in a bar and then inviting them into your home.
You know what? And I agree with that. I think that's what it is. You're not asking from one specific person. You're just kind of opening the door.
Right. And, you know, again, the skeptic or the material view is that the planchet is being driven by the ideomotor effect.
Yeah.
That's we're only in contact with our subconscious mind and that there's no unexplainable outside forces that are at play. But, you know, I've yet to read an explanation by the skeptics as to so many people. There's so many people that reported aggressive blasphemies, death predictions, hateful threats, shocking conversations from the Ouija board in manners that definitely weren't recorded in other methods that are also, you know, supposedly projected by the unconscious. And so I find that to be pretty fascinating. You know, parapsychologist Carl Jung, he described the archetypes, such as the stranger and the trickster, being buried within the unconscious mind. And so I do, you know, I'm kind of a little agnostic as far as that's concerned. Are we contacting entities that are in our mind, or are we contacting entities that, you know, are on the outside of the human mind? And so when we begin to dig further into, you know, into the psychological aspects of these archetypes and whatnot, it doesn't get much easier to figure out, you know. But the fact of the matter is when I used to involve myself with Ouija sessions, and this was about 20 years worth of stuff, that some incredible things, you know, happened, and that led me to believe in the spiritual world. And I used to often go to take it to other people's houses with that being in mind. I'm not moving this thing. If I am able to predict your father's date of birth or and we would ask questions, you know, like that, and often, you know, this Zozo would be able to make people very uncomfortable. But not only would it answer those questions, but it would provide information that there was no way that I could have known, or anyone else that was using the Ouija board could have known. And so, like, every time was just like I couldn't believe some of the stuff that was going on. And so as the years passed, when I quit using the Ouija board back in 2001. It became a point to where it was really, I was always wanting to be on the board and converse with this thing. And so, it can, you know, and for whatever reasons, even though the bad things were happening, I feel like I had this attachment with this. I still feel it to this day, in certain, times where I feel vulnerable, and I try to keep myself surrounded by family and friends and that kind of thing, because, you know, these entities, they do like to attack you when you're alone, when you're vulnerable. They do feed off of fear. And so, a lot of people might think that this kind of stuff's crazy, but I mean, I've seen it, I've dealt with it, and, it's just, a lot of other people have too. And I've received hundreds of emails of people that have told me that they've contacted this thing, or they know somebody that has, that it's caused possession, that, I mean, the stories just come in, and it's just, it's really, really bizarre where it's gotten to at this stage of researching this. And, so that's kind of where we're at. I mean, one of the most famous books on Ouija boards by Stoker Hunt, in his book, The Most Dangerous Game, he describes a common pattern of communication that develops between, Ouija participants and the so-called force by which they communicate.
Okay, we got a phone call. Hold on just a moment.
Yeah, this is Paula.
Paula.
Hey. I have a question. Let me turn my radio down. Having met a demonologist, what do demonologists think of Ouija boards?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm having done some shows with John Zappas. I know I've had correspondence with Mr. Dwayne Claude, as a demonologist. The way they feel about Ouija boards is exactly kind of the way that I've kind of described them, is that when you get on a board, depending on, okay, there's laws of intent, there's laws of recognition, there's a lot of laws that are involved as far as your overall sense of well-being. If you get on a board and you're if you're on drugs, or if you're depressed, or if you have outside influences that that these spirits may be able to recognize to gain your attention and gain your trust, then that's when it's easier for those types of entities to come through. It all has to do with the mindset of the person that's, you know, people or person aboard, and it could come down to someone else that's in the room.
Okay.
If your intentions are to speak with a lower elemental, or if you're kind of expecting something evil to come through, then it's that much easier for that evil to come through.
But it's not.
But a lot of people, a lot of children that aren't exposed to this type of thing, you know, a lot of times they just get something that starts talking to them, and these spirits will come through and they will try to gain your recognition. And
but
so
it,
as far as the demonologists, they do believe that Ouija boards are a portal, that these spirits can come through and cause a lot of hauntings. As a matter of fact, John Zappa said that probably 4 out of 10 hauntings were caused directly by Ouija boards, and that's in his direct 35 years of investigating hauntings and that type of stuff. And so, the demonologists definitely believe that the Ouija board can cause things to happen.
You just made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. Thank you. But are all spirits that come through the week, they're not all evil that come through. Is that correct?
No, it's, as far as, a lot of demonologists, religious clergy, people that research this stuff like myself, we do believe that it is possible to contact spirits that are on a higher refinement or a higher elemental plane. That's pretty, that's even rarer than speaking. And a lot of times they're so deceptive. They'll pretend to be a deceased family member. They'll pretend to be anything that they need to pretend to be to achieve their agenda, which is to be able to talk to them, to give them attention. The same flattery will get you everywhere. I mean, that applies here. It's better for the invader if the victim is alone, isolated, or exhausted and ill. These entities, they have malicious minds. They'll instinctively lie to you to achieve its agenda. They misrepresent themselves, like I said, as a deceased loved one or whatever. But, a lot of times what I've found out and seen when I used to use them is they would pretend to be somebody nice. And then all of a sudden, everything goes haywire. And, it's almost like the more you talk to them, the more power you give to them on the board.
Yeah.
So you really have to be careful and to not let them roam with their own, sayings and ramblings. Especially with this Zozo thing. You don't need to ask it any questions. It'll start asking you questions. I mean, it's not something to be messed with, but am I saying that every time a negative thing happens? No, not every time. It really depends on the participant and what their expectation levels are. And there's a lot of things that go into this, and there's proper ways to do it. And there's, obviously when I was a teenager and I started messing with them, I would call them from reading books on paranormal spirit summoning and everything. I mean, I made the mistake of calling them from the north and calling them from the west or whatever. And so, at a young age, and again, the Ouija board is one of the first things that amateurs will try to do in investigating the psychic research or whatever. I mean, and so that can be, it's an easy way to do it. I mean, why does all this happen? Why does all this phenomena happen attached to a Ouija board where it doesn't happen with, other types of spirit communication? That's another question that hasn't been answered. You really don't need a Ouija board. You can make one out of a piece of paper. I mean, and so if that's the case, that we don't need Ouija boards to contact spirits, then what's going on, if they're present and we don't have a Ouija board, And so all these questions come up, and we're trying to find some answers to it.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Paula.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
See you, Paula. Thanks.
Now I gotta ask, and I'm sorry, Nick. I know you got a question, but I gotta ask, because you're saying you never know what's coming through. It's like opening a door. It's like bringing a stranger home from the bar. It's like, the demons can start asking you stuff. You get all that, and then you realize, and we talked about this on Steve's show too. This is a toy made by Milton Bradley, that's sold in the toy, or Toys R Us
they
and stuff
have
like that
it over there. This toy store you were at, Lola, you were talking about earlier.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
I remember seeing it.
Do you think that's right to sell them to kids and to market it to kids?
Of course I don't think it's right. As a matter of fact, Toys R Us is pulling it from the shelves, and they want to give an explanation why. Brian Goldner, the CEO of Hasbro, that's coming out with a new big-budget Ouija movie that he's brought on the writers of the Lost series and some big-name writers. And there's a, you know, it's a big-budget movie that's going to be coming out soon. You know, they're making a movie that they're claiming that it's not going to be a cheap Jumanji ripoff, but it's going to have actually, contain horror elements. And okay, so here they are coming up with this horror movie, but at the same time, they're marketing pink Ouija boards, all over the country, all over the world, and they're being sold, and they got the hot pink and the purple pink or whatever. You know, they're marketing these as games to children. Okay. And so, from reading this, and I get a lot of teenagers and young people that email me as well. They draw pictures of this thing, they send it to me, they think it's their guardian angel, that's how it gets in the back door. And I don't understand how they can stand on the platform if it's just a game, but at the same time come out with a movie, big budget movie about the Ouija board. They said it's gonna contain horror elements such as The Ring and such as, other movies, and so that's where we're at. How do they do that? What happens when children do it? I would hate to have to try to get into that, as young children, 7, 8, 9 years old, what happens when they get on? And that's what, again, parents need to be able to be open-minded enough to understand that, as the paranormal explosion in media continues and these Ouija board movies come out and these companies that manufacture spirit boards, it's not just the Ouija board. There's thousands of other spirit boards that are out there that are being marketed as well. So, and that's one of the reasons why I keep going on and keep trying to educate people and make them and ask them to be open-minded enough to just be cautious about it.
Yeah.
Now, how about, have you ever heard of these angel boards? But, I've been described to me as, just rebranding a Ouija
board. I have seen the angel board. I've spoken to people that use angel boards, and they look at me like I'm crazy. They haven't had any bad experiences or whatnot. But the people that do have these angel boards, they're not, more than know what they're doing as far as maybe having a protective circle or saying the proper prayer and having the proper elements put forth to contact those beings that are on the higher plane. And that's where the angel boards kind of come in. You're not wanting, first of all, to talk to anything that's going to be, evil or of a malicious nature. So I do know people that use angel boards, and they don't report any type of bad negative activity. And so
how often do you... use a Ouija?
I don't use the Ouija anymore. I haven't in several years.
Okay.
And you had said before that, the more contact you have, the more, attached these
absolutely demons
get.
And
how did you get out of their, being attached to them? I mean,
were you still conflicted?
Well, honestly, I get asked that a lot. I think fear, again, I surround myself with family and friends. I live with my uncle and my son. And so that helps me, it seems that when I'm alone and it has the opportunity, and to this day, again, I do feel that sometimes it kind of comes back and it kind of lets me know that it could still be there. I have touched a few Ouija boards in the last couple of years. One of my youngest sons, he brought one to the house and demanded that I touch it. And, he had lived with his mother for years and didn't really spend a lot of time in it. And so it's been those situations where I have, my best friend died about 4 years ago, and we did decide to take a homemade board out to the site to try to contact him, and it started to spell out Z-O-Z-O, and so, of course, and that's what happens. When I get on board, I get the same spirit, and, it's the one that I don't want to get, and so I leave them alone, but curiosity, they say it kills the cat, but I don't mess with them as far as having sessions, having one in my home. I won't do it. I've got a 2-year-old daughter that, I just won't. I won't try to expose her to that type of thing. But the weird thing about it is when I jump into the research on this stuff, I do notice sometimes that I've had some things happen that were, even though there's not a board in the house, and I don't know if it's because I let this thing in at an early age and continued it to mess with it for so long. And then in 2001, I actually was able to take a picture of it. And then in 2009, started writing about it. I mean, this has been going on for about 25 years. And so I've developed an understanding of it through my research. And I tell you, I was actually relieved when I found out that other people have had similar experiences, because, I mean, at one time I just thought I was a nut. You know, and this thing does, it does recognize and identify itself as the ZOZO. But now we're starting to hear stories about the VA, the Zaza, which just happens to be Aleister Crowley's daughter's name.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some very frightening stories, you know, with the ZAZA. And so it's just not this one particular word. You know, there's other spirits, there's other names.
Now, do you think it's the same spirit just messing around?
Well, that's the thing with these, with the spirit activity. They do deceive, and they will. And you know, there's been a lot of people that have written about insane asylums and people that have been committed that have used these Ouija boards in history. It's very interesting when you start digging into the parapsychologists that have done investigations with these people that have gone crazy after using them. You know, and it's just there's a rich history in it. And it's just amazing, some of the stories, not just on the internet, but that are in books and that are in French grimoire. And that's when, you know, it wasn't until after that I started reading about all the stories of Zozo possessions and that kind of thing, when I started to dig into the French grimoires, than it did, I was able to find that Zozo is mentioned as an actual demon in French literature.
Wow.
That describes it as one, as long with Mimi and Caprolet, as actual demons that infested and possessed a young girl in 1816. And this is written about, and in other documents dating back to probably in between, you know, the early 1700s toward the late 1800s, there are several documents that list this ZOZO as a as possibly one book does, a book that was written in 1913 about Greece describes Zozo as diminutive of Pazuzu, which was is a great leader of hell that was used in The Exorcist.
Yeah, that's what I thought that name sounded familiar. Well,
and so the farther I dig, the more information I kind of find out about this, but when I start digging and spending the time that it takes to do this, then I start noticing some things start, you know, I've had some paranormal activity happen, and it's a very strange situation that I'm in.
Well, we had some guests on, or a guest on one time, and this was a while ago, that has written a book or done a lot of research into Ouija boards. And, of course, he claimed that there's absolutely nothing to any of this. And I'm sorry, but I just, then we had a pair of women on that used a Ouija board to talk with two spirits that helped them write a book. And I personally believe that it is like a portal. But in the case of the one guy that did not believe, perhaps the spirits can't attach themselves to you if you are simply not receptive to this at all. It's kind of like, well, this is a waste of time. It's not going to go anywhere. So they just kind of leave him alone. But I haven't messed with one of those since I was probably 12 years old, would be the last time.
Well, you know, mediums from around the world, they consistently report that these, that those that are dead and they're in despair in the lower vibration regions closest to the earth, sometimes, you know, called the lower astral regions, they're very much jealous of those living on the earth. I mean, they understand that while on earth, a person can increase its vibrations or whatever, while it's very difficult to do so in the lower spheres of the spirit world. So despair is pushed to the extreme simply because they cannot experience the things that they used to enjoy while alive.
Mm-hmm.
That could be sexual excitement, alcohol, smoking. I mean, endless other influences that they did while on earth. That these things and these particular lower elementals or spirits or entities, whatever they may be, they can be invited in through Ouija contact. There's a lot of people that believe in this. Harry Houdini used to have sessions. I mean, the 12-step process through Alcoholics Anonymous, they say, was written with the help of a Ouija board.
Wow,
textbooks. I mean, there's entire volumes and volumes of material that people claim has come through Ouija contact that have been, you know, it's just Edgar Casey. I mean, he warned people of the danger of Ouija boards, and so you have, and you know, whatever explanation that you accept.
I'm really glad that you're shooting out the warnings, because you know there are a lot of people that just don't understand, you know, and just take it as a toy, and it's like, oh, whatever.
It's a party game.
Yeah,
it's a party game.
It's fun, you know. And I'm glad that you're out there. You know, like you said, you got a real, I guess, daytime job. You know, you're out there working, and then you know you're doing this just for the benefit of whoever will listen, you know, and that's great. You know, that's kind of what we do.
Sure.
Well.
Lola.
They're interesting. Just going to announce here tonight on Whispers that there is. I'm going to be starring in a horror movie based on my research.
Really?
Wow.
And, so it's going to be pretty interesting. It's being filmed this year, and I can't say too much about it. But maybe we get on the show again after things get going on. And it's being filmed late this year.
Definitely.
It should be 2011. I'm going to be at Epic Con in Virginia Beach, March 11th through the 13th.
Awesome.
I'm going to have a good time out there. John Zappas, Rosemary Allen Guiley, myself, Travis Walton. A lot of big names going to be out there. And so, it's... looking forward to a lot of good things happening, and
that's
well
great. When you get started, the ball rolling on that, make sure you get up with us, and we'll help you promote it as much as we can.
Sure, sounds good, guys.
We got your a link to your website on our website, whispersradio.com, for our listeners that want to hear more about what you got. Your website's full of information that links back to Zozo, and I do want to thank you for your time. We do have to cut for the news.
Yeah, we do.
Thank you very much, Darren Evans.
Thanks, Darren.
Hey, not a problem, man. I appreciate you having me on, guys.
And we'll
have fun.
We'll be talking
to
you again.
Thanks, Darren.
Okay, man.
Bye-bye.
All right, it's time for CNN News. You're listening to Whispers Radio, and we'll be right back.
Which is second to none. Whether it's for your car, home, business, or family, you won't find insurance protection better suited to your needs than with the state auto companies, where a policyholder is someone special.
State Auto, a friend you can depend on.
For special treatment, special products, and special service, contact State Auto Agent Paul Associates Insurance and Real Estate at 233-3303.
Now your local weather, brought to you by Robinson Law Offices in downtown Wheeling. Don't sign. Call them at 304-233-5200.
Here is your AM 1600 local weather forecast. For today, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms, high 83. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms, low 72. And for your Wednesday, expect mostly cloudy skies with showers and thunderstorms late in the afternoon, high of 85. This local weather forecast is brought to you by the friendly folks Blazing the Burrito Trail, the honest-to-goodness Salsa Cafe. Stop in and try one of their lunch specials. The Honest to Goodness Salsa Cafe. We care what you eat.
The following contains violence, mature content, and coarse language that may not be suitable for children.
What the f***?
WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, bringing you the loudest, edgiest, and most informative talk radio allowed by U.S. law. Give us a call and tell us what you're thinking. Locally, 304-214-1600. Out of the area, toll free, 866-514-1600. Live from the Sims Tower in the Robinson Auto Group studio, we are AM 1600 WKKX, the studio that Kellis built. Now it's time for Whispers, your number one source for all things paranormal, with your hosts, Jordan Klein and Nick Queen, and produced by the lovely Lola Miller. Whispers is brought to you by West Virginia Penitentiary Tours. At the West Virginia State Penitentiary in Moundsville, unforgettable, historical, educational.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Whispers Radio here on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. It is 710, 81 degrees here in downtown Wheeling. Give us a call, 304-214-1600. If you're out of the area, call us toll-free, 1-866-514-1600. I'm Jordan Klein, he's Nick Queen, and she is the lovely Lola Miller.
Nick, I get all Nick, tittery.
Nick kind of got like the dog like head tilt thing when I said his name. So what do you think, Lo? You ready to go out and get a Ouija board? What do you think about all that?
This sounds terrible. I am tempted.
Really?
Only because you know how I am about wanting to experience. I don't know.
Sometimes you get what you ask for, though, too.
Yes, quoting Barry. My boy. Anyway, but we had somebody on, a girl, I'm terrible with names, a month or so ago, and she uses one periodically. And then, of course, the two authors that actually penned a book from, you know, somebody. So I think maybe, honestly, I think it all depends on how you open yourself up to it. You know, if you're, like he said, if you're depressed or there's bad things happening that
allows... But there's always that chance.
Well, it's not even that. The question that always goes through my head is, he's like, oh, it's not always bad. Sometimes it, you know, it comes and it's really nice. I'm thinking, well, that could just be Zozo, you know?
Yeah, but then right after that he said... But, you know, then the demon will say, you know, I'm your great aunt and, you know, make you think you like it and then turn on you and get you.
I know.
You can't trust anything from it. I mean, you have to throw out everything if there's that 1% chance, even a 0.5%.
Well, I'll put it this way, and I know she ain't listening, but my stepmom always has some things she says.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was, you know, it was in regards to sin. She's a preacher. But it kind of goes with this situation, too. You know, you're opening yourself up either way. Any way you look at it, good or bad, you're opening yourself up,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's say you're eating cookies. Is it okay if I just put a little bit of poop in the mixture of the cookies? Just a little bit and mix it up and make cookies. Yeah. Would you eat them? Just a
all
little,
right.
just
that's,
a little
okay,
bit of poop.
That's a good example. I guess.
Yeah.
No.
the answer is no. I would not eat them, but somebody out there would. And I know she'd be happy that I'm you know using one of her references,
yeah.
But she doesn't listen. So.
I don't know. What scares me is that if there is a chance that these are portals that you're opening for them to, and once they make a movie, these things will fly off the shelves.
But
and
there's been movies made already. I think it was called Witchboard. And I think there's like three of them.
Yeah, but now in this, at this time, with so much about vampires and ghosts, I mean, it's all over television now.
Yeah, the paranormal is like the
hot.
The new kids on the block of this decade, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, it'll make a lot of money, and it'll be marketed like crazy. And
exactly.
You'll probably go to McDonald's, and they'll have Ouija board.
Totally.
Yes. I mean, you don't know what could happen. I mean, it's crazy.
You're a marketing genius, Nick.
Well, and you know how he was saying that a lot of people say it's a subconscious thought that's moving it. But when you stop and think about it, you've got – I remember when we would do it as kids – there would be sometimes be four or five of us with fingers on that planchette.
Yeah.
So how I don't believe that there's a way.
A collective consciousness.
Yes. Coming up with the answers. Now, of course, if it's a yes or no answer, that's one thing. And I'm sure they'd say, well, one person was just more dominant in their, you know, in their movements, and everybody else just kind of went along with the movement of the thing without even that person being aware that they were doing it. But, you know, when you start asking questions and say, you're over there and you're asking the questions and Nick and I are doing, you know, have our fingers on it. And we don't know the answers. And there are specific questions like years of birth and things like that. How in the world could we possibly subconsciously be giving the answers?
You know, it'd be an interesting, and I just thought about this. You know,
we're not doing it on the air, Nick.
No. Okay. I like that. You know those Bose, like noise-canceling headphones?
Yeah.
Okay, you get a couple people, put those on their, you know, on their on the head, and have them touch the planchet, and then have
and
someone
then
else
ask
a question. That way they're not hearing it, but if there's something that's answering, it's moving it.
That would be
interesting. That is a good experiment.
God, I'm glad you went to college for 12 years.
Do you think you'll have a master's soon and really be able to tell us stuff?
And then I'll be like, and that person should have Bose too, you know? So.
That would be, I mean, how else that would be as controlled as you can possibly do an experiment like that.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting, and I say we're not going to do it on the air, and I'd like to think we
would.
Here's our first
our volunteer. Hey, Paula.
Volunteer.
Paula!
Lola threw me under the bus.
Guess what you're doing this weekend.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to know, what's the odds that we can take a Ouija board into the pen next time? Have they done that before?
I'm sure somebody has. I mean, you can bring whatever you want to bring.
I know, but if you
I don't know if I'd go in with you.
You didn't go last time either.
Yeah. There's so much for you, Nick.
Brady cat.
That is a thought.
I had to work the next morning. I've been in there like 8 times. So
the funny thing, Nick, no bats.
No bats.
Yeah, no bats this time.
I warned
everybody.
No bats.
Yep, I warned everybody. Make sure you bring a hat, you wear a hat, and all that kind of stuff.
I've never been in there without bats.
Now, Paula, I want to ask you, what are your thoughts on the Ouija board?
They scare the heck out of me.
Is that it?
Yeah, pretty much. They creep me out. I you know, we messed with them as kids. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they gave you creepy answers, and you always blamed whoever was sitting around there, but you believed everything it said.
Yeah.
And then somebody, of course, was, you know, messing with you.
Do you think it's right for them to be sold to kids?
No. No. I just think there's too much history of darkness around them.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I just don't think they're a toy.
I don't either. And it bothers me that, well, like we were saying, you know, they're going to make a movie, you know, probably making these things into something heroic or,
fantasy about.
And in this day and age with every single channel's got ghost hunters or vampire hunters or, you know, something like that. And
it glamorizes it.
Yes. I mean, look at these kids now that think it is sexy and is loving to literally bite their partner's necks.
Yeah.
I mean, they're drawing blood. They're biting. It's not like a hickey, you know? I mean,
I was just going to say hickeys were the thing of the day. No?
Yeah.
I'm, a step further. Now, they don't sell tarot cards to kids.
Yeah. And I think it's along the same line as the tarot cards.
Yeah.
You know, it is an occult item, you know? A tool for the occult. Any way you want to look at it, that's what it is.
And if there is something dark and evil out there, what better prey to have than young, innocent
children
who don't know to be afraid? You know, it's just fun and squealing and laughing and games. And I'm curious how many, it's mostly girls, isn't it, that do the Ouija boards, like slumber parties and stuff. Guys don't really do that much, do they?
These two are turning red.
Guys do it. Guys do it too, Paula.
used to.
Oh, my. So, but yeah, and you can call it anything you want. A witch board, an angel board.
It's all the same thing.
Yes, I don't care
what
kind of name you
put on it. You can write letters on a piece of paper and use it like that. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, what do you use as a planchet if you're doing on a piece of paper?
I don't know.
You buy those separate? Not that I'm going
take
to.
Take another piece of paper and punch a hole in it? I don't know.
I don't want to put a nail through it and got it done.
I've never done this, Paula.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, tape it to your fingers and... They creep me out. I don't want one in my house.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't want my kids messing with it.
Yep.
So, okay, I'll call back later and pester again.
All right,
Paula.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
She's so funny.
It's weird, that clicking I was talking about earlier, just saying, it seems like it's coming from the phone. That's, I don't know. That's the only time I got it. Maybe it's Paula.
It's probably the ghost.
It could be.
The ghost of clicking past
Zozo.
No. Now, see, I've heard that there used to be a switchboard in the basement of this building. And that's kind of why I think our phones zap once in a while and
it's
all
like
that kind of stuff.
The ghost in the machine.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Nikki, I want to hear your views on the Ouija board. Can we get the next guest ready?
Have you ever
played with a Ouija?
I've never played with one.
Okay, Paula, so I guess it is girls, and I'm just the oddball out.
Have you played with one?
Yeah.
Have you ever had any Zozo? And I've meant to ask that to Lola, too.
See, no, and I mentioned it on Steve's show. When I was in sixth grade, we had a classmate die.
Yeah.
He died in a fire. So, like, every recess, a group of us would take the Ouija board out, and that's what we did for recess. You know, talk to David, you know.
And did he answer?
And, you know, it was moving around. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether or not it was us, whether or not it was something else. But a few years ago, you know, I was kind of telling people from back home what I do now, and, you know, somebody's like, oh, well, the elementary school's haunted. I was like, really? I never knew that. You know, it wasn't haunted when I was there. And they were like, yeah, some boy died in a fire and is haunting. I was like, you know, our class, we sat there and we were summoning a demon, or we were summoning a spirit. We were summoning a spirit, and the spirit stuck at the school. You know, whatever it is,
you need to go back and tell him he can leave. If you called him there.
Well, I'm not the only one.
Well, but you know what I mean.
It's your responsibility
Bad
now.
Guy.
But see, is it would it be the spirit of the boy, or would it be, I want to say, like, the spirit took a spirit took that identity to be heard and is now stuck like that.
Or even past that, the Philip experiment we've talked about a bunch. What if you created?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of different. We've talked about so much stuff. We have no idea what he's done.
That's it.
We need to stop learning stuff so I quit screwing things up that I the past now has a name.
I know.
Nikki,
see, those innocent things you did, and now we can really put a name to it.
Every guest we have puts a name to something I've screwed up. Nikki, you want to introduce our guest?
All right. Well, Bob Wilkinson's one of West Virginia's leading new filmmakers. New documentary coming out, or it's actually out now, Shades of Gray, examines Gray Barker, who we've talked about several times on the show. Bob, you with us?
Yeah. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being on. Now tell us about your new your documentary, Shades of Gray.
Well, Shades of Gray kind of chronicles the life of Gray Barker, a West Virginian who was really an early pioneer in the UFO field. And he wrote about a lot of the early, you know, big stories in West Virginia, Braxton County Monster, the Mothman, and, you know, even had his touch on the Philadelphia experiment up in Philadelphia, and was really on the, you know, one of the collectors of this I guess you would say subculture of the stories and the history.
Now, how exactly did you get into it? I mean, have you read a lot of his stuff, or just found him an interesting person? How did you get into this?
Yeah, well, I read about him in a book. Jeannie Mosier had written a book called Way Out in West Virginia, and it was, I kind of, you know, flipped through it. I'm always reading about West Virginia history, looking for stories in my own backyard. And I found this, I think it was called Modern X-Files, stored in the Clarksburg-Harrison County Library, and it was about the Gray Barker collection there at the library. And that it caught my attention, and I drove up and began reading through his journals, his letters between different people. I started reading his writing, his books, and you know, just became in. I just thought, you know, what a great story to tell. And, you know, right away I knew that this was a story that I wanted to tell, was the life of Gray Barker.
Now, where are you from now? Where are you living now?
I live in West Virginia. I live in Ripley, West Virginia.
Okay, you're about two and a half hours away from us. We're in Wheeling.
Down the road from you guys, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, did you maybe, how do I want to say, were you connected at all through Point Pleasant? Is that what kind of got you? Where you at, bud?
Yeah, you, right now? Or?
Yeah, it's kind of loud.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can step outside here if it's a problem. If it's
maybe a little.
Yeah, I'll step outside. But I can answer that as I walk out.
Okay. Now, with Point Pleasant being so close to you, was it more of an interest getting into the UFO phenomenon because of that, or was it just something you were always interested in?
No, it was really the history of it all unfolded when I started researching Gray Barker.
Okay.
And you know, that I became interested in the subject the more and more I read his writings and his work. So, I mean, I knew about these incidents, but I only knew about them on the surface. I knew about the Braxton County Monster. I knew about the Mothman, but I had really no idea about the story until I began, you know, researching Gray Barker and reading his publications.
Now, there's a lot of people out there who, you know, because we have people listening around the world who probably have no idea who Gray Barker, you know, what he did, you know, and the impact he had, you know, on the UFO you know, movement. That, you know, he almost can be one of the, you know, the, I guess the godfather of the ancestors, you know, the people go look back at. Can you kind of give a little bit of a history of who he is, when he was working and so forth?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, the biggest impact of Gray Barker, while people may not realize that the impact that he left, is the Men in Black. He wrote, you know, most of his writings were on the Men in Black, and I think he did more to kind of keep that story alive in the field. And, you know, the idea that the government knows more than they're going to tell you, and if you know too much, they're going to visit you, you know, the Three Men in Black Suits, which eventually became the movie with Tommy Lee Jones and and Will Smith. And so he really kept that story alive, and all throughout his career, even at the end of his career, you can see him going back and reaching into the bag of tricks of the Men in Black to rehash that story one more time. And but I think when people think about the Mothman, and John Keel's book is what people think about when they think about the Mothman, with the Mothman prophecies and the Richard Gere movie. But
yeah,
you know, Barker and Keel were there together. They considered collaborating on a book together about the Mothman and the research. And so I don't think that people really understand the impact that he's had on what, you know, the stories that are that have been passed down, and being able to keep those alive.
Now, what exactly was his view on the Men in Black? Because we've had several people on talking, you know, that the Men in Black were from another planet, that they were, you know, other alien beings trying to keep things, you know, to some degree in check. And we've had people say that they were our military, like a branch of our military. What was his view?
Well, in his writings, he of course presented them as mysterious, and he never really wrote that it, whether it be a government official or you know, aliens or other life forms visiting the planet. I think one thing about Gray was that he collected these stories and just kind of passed them along. And the story of the Men in Black, Gray Barker didn't really, he's not the creator of that. It's a story of a friend, Al Bender, who claimed to be visited by three men in the middle of the night and told to cease everything that he's doing in the UFO field.
Huh.
In Al Bender's story, he claimed that the beings were floating and things like that. But one thing about Gray Barker, he would pass on these stories, even if however absurd they were. And there were, I just uncovered it, it's after the documentary finished, but I uncovered an interview with Jackie Gleason.
Oh, yeah?
And Gray Barker on the Long John Neville show. And Jackie Gleason is kind of getting on his case about integrity, and Gray Barker was offering him a ride on a spaceship. He said he got a letter, and these guys are going to pick him up on a spaceship, and they're going to go to an island off the coast of Brazil, and they can go down there together, and they'll be safe from nuclear attack, and to discuss otherworldly things. And Jackie Gleason was kind of getting on him, and what Gray said was, you know, no matter what comes in, and these stories that I gather, I'm going to pass them on to my fans, and I'm going to let them decide, you know? And that's kind of what he did. He was kind of like a folklorist. But he would add that element of, you know, is this true? You know, I think he would drive his sales that way too.
Oh, that's a interesting take on it.
You know, I know Jordan's a huge Mothman fan. I mean, and that's one of his, you know, and everybody listens to the show, they know that he, you know, he actually went down, he spoke, you know, went to the diners, he, you know, went across the bridge, you know, the Silver Bridge, or I guess.
Yeah, that's not there anymore.
Well, I realize that, but, the, you know.
Nick
the side
apparently
of it.
Does not know the story.
Well, you know, to the side of it, and, you know, he went up to the bunkers and all kinds of different things. You know, and it's something that impacted that city, or I don't even know if you call it a city, I guess a town. You know, ever since, you know, the Mothman, there's still sightings of the Mothman. Would you consider him the first person to have actually reported on this, or was it him in a combination of him and Kill, or?
Yeah, that's tough to say. I think even Ivan Sanderson was there at the time. He was a naturalist, I want to say.
Yeah.
And he would come and he would go to these sightings and things. So it's really tough to say about, you know, who was there first. I would say Gray was there pretty quick since it was in his own backyard.
Yeah.
And the Silver Bridge, Gray Barker wrote a book on it, which is an interesting take on it.
Now, what is his take on this?
Well, I mean, he goes through interviews with people, and he has more of a dramatic style of writing. I mean, he really does infuse a lot of, I'll say he takes a lot of artistic liberty with his writing, and which is, to me is what makes him interesting and what makes his writing so good. But I think for someone who's just reading it, I think you can see that in it, and you can see those elements, and I think you understand where he's coming from. Sometimes it's pure science fiction. Sometimes it's sitting down with someone for an interview on the research. So, I mean, Gray Barker was an entertainer, but at the same time, he's a researcher and a reporter, because the stories that he did gather were, I think, very crucial to the UFO field to keep these, you know, stories going and alive.
I know in one of the descriptions I saw of the of your documentary, you know, that it says that, you know, Shades of Gray peels the layers away, and I think this is actually from Amazon, you know, one of the great American hoaxers of the 20th century.
Yeah.
You know, do you think he was pretty much all hoax? Do you think there was an element of truth to everything he did? I mean, what is your take on, because you've spent a lot of time, almost you could almost say you spent a lot of time with him, you know, looking through his journals, looking through his writings.
Yeah.
What do you
think? I would say that the truth with Gray lies in the people that sent the stories in. And, you know, sometimes he would jazz them up a bit, make them a little more entertaining that way, you know, readable, I guess you could say. But
so he'd take a little bit of truth and add a whole lot of fluff.
Yeah. And you know, that's the way these things happen too, you know, like with the Mothman and the Braxton County Monster. And you guys are from West Virginia, you know, there's a strong oral tradition, a strong folk tradition, and we pass stories down generation to generation. And that's like John Henry, another West Virginian.
Yeah.
In Hinton, West Virginia. That story has grown to such a large story, you know what I mean? It's almost and
transcend
I think
itself.
I think that's what happens is, you know, I have no doubt that Mrs. May and those kids, Freddie May, went up on that hill and they saw something and they had a genuine experience. But the question is, when does that start building? And Gray wrote something interesting in his book that was, you know, they had 7 seconds to see this, whatever they saw. And how long can you perceive in 7 seconds? And the, you know, what it's grown to out of that 7 seconds is kind of, you know, I think you do have to be a little skeptical on some of the stories. And I think that's what's important is that, you know, when you read the stories, and you know, you should be skeptical about it, and you should look, if you're genuinely interested in it, I think you'll do your research and your homework and look into it and try to you know, figure those things out for yourself.
So is it fair, I guess, to call him a hoaxer, like in your review?
He perpetrated some of the greatest hoaxes in the field, in my opinion, and the film gets into that. It talks about some of the hoaxes that he performed, and I think that was a part. I think it may have been Jerry Clark, the author of the UFO Encyclopedia, that said that, you know, that was part of the UFO culture. Then you played the jokes on your friends, and Gray was one of the best at that.
Now, what were some of the hoaxes that he perpetrated?
The infamous one is the Strafe Letter, where George Adamski was one of the leading UFO investigators at the time, and Gray Barker and Jim Moseley wrote this letter and basically told Adamski, it was on State Department letter, so they had official government letterhead, and they told Adamski that he's on to something, they agree with him, but they can't come out publicly with it. And you know, Adamski immediately, whether he believed it or not, you don't know, but he immediately trumpeted the letter. See, what I know is right, and he used that in lectures and at UFO conferences and things like that. And so Gray would constantly, and, you know, his other friends, and, you know, with the, I know there's a story of him, he constantly shot on 8mm camera, and, he shot a film where they were chasing this car, and he was making it like they were the Men in Black, and they're chasing them around town and following them. And it was an old farm couple that he's chasing around. And he takes this film and he sells it, you know, hey, look, I got proof that the Men in Black exist, when it's probably the scared farm couple trying to get away from it. And so he, you know, he would do things like that. And it seems to me, and it's hard for me to say because I'm not really a UFO expert. I'm not an expert on the field, but it seems to me like that was a important element of the field, was that fun and the sense of awe and wonder. And I think that's what all those early guys have that we're missing today.
And do you think, though, that all, you know, you go into that, you know, you kind of have this sense of fun. You also have these hoaxes that kind of got around. Has a lot of that bled into, at least, you know, I hear you said you're not an expert, but looking at the UFO field, you know, field now, you see any traces of this still existing?
You know, it's hard to say. If it did, I think today everyone's a little more skeptical and jaded about everything.
Uh-huh.
And I think that the only way you can perform a hoax is if you just outright write a science fiction book and say it's the truth.
Yeah.
Well, there was the Bigfoot people not too long ago.
That was a perfect example. Yeah, and it was like possum. They had like fur and it was a possum.
Yeah.
Guts, and yeah, and they froze it and they sold it.
That had everybody on standstill there for a few minutes.
Yeah, I have done some Bigfoot hunting with people, and that's kind of, you know, I like to just, I'm skeptical about everything, but I'm willing to go out and see for myself. And, you know, I've gone Bigfoot hunting.
Now, what do you do?
That's hard to say hunting because they weren't trying to shoot him. But I've done ghost hunting, things like that.
Now, when you go Bigfoot hunting, what kind of equipment do you take with you?
Well, I took my camera. But they were using, you know, similar things to what ghost hunters would use. Infrared cameras they set up at night.
Mm-hmm.
They film what they do at day. They're looking for footprints, traces of trees broken, and things like that, and weird patterns that are not natural. They put some feces in a bag and send it off to the lab. I'm not sure what it ever came back to be. I didn't talk to them about it, but they do, you know.
You can almost guarantee it wasn't Bigfoot.
Well, yeah, who am I to say?
Yeah.
Jordan doesn't like Bigfoot. I mean, did you find anything at all out there that made you think there might be Bigfoot? I mean, where were you doing this investigation, I guess?
We were up in Dolly Sods, West Virginia. Apparently, West Virginia is one of the most common places of Bigfoot sightings where people claim to have seen Bigfoot. And so we were in Dolly Sods up in the mountains of West Virginia. It's really remote. there's no, you know, no one lives up there for miles and miles, and so.
Yeah, it's crazy. Us West Virginians think they see a lot of things.
Yeah. And you know, it's easy to do that here because some places are remote, and I mean, it's an interesting place, and your mind can play tricks on you.
Yeah,
for sure.
Now, you also said you went ghost hunting. I mean, is that also, you know, in the state of West Virginia, going ghost hunting and everything?
Yeah, I've done that. I've done it twice. I spent the night in Moundsville Prison to shoot, and I also went to a cemetery in Wellsburg, Pennsylvania, just above you guys.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Did you get anything at the pen?
At the penitentiary?
Yeah.
Other than bats flying at me, no.
There you go, Paul. We actually just had a... Because I've been in the prison six or so, probably eight times now, and I always get harassed by the bats. And this is the first year we do a annual ghost hunt on the radio show here. And I was warning everybody beforehand, you've got to be careful of the bats. You know, the bats will swoop at you. I guess they went and there was no bats this time, and I didn't get to go.
Yeah, Nick didn't come, and there was
no
bats.
That's why there were no bats.
So Nick's not invited next year.
Yeah.
The bats are fun, though, especially on the infrared cameras. You get them flying through the infrared. It's kind of neat.
Well, it's great when you got the headlamp and they fly right at your head, but you don't see it until it's like right in front of your face. It's flying right at you.
That was my experience.
I had no gear like that. I just had a camera, so I couldn't see where I was going most of the time.
Now, what other kind of story, you know, you got the shades of gray. Are there other... projects in West Virginia, you know, kind of the breakaway, maybe even a little bit from the paranormal. Are there other projects that, you know, other people can find of yours if they're interested in your work?
Yeah, I've done multiple films for PBS. I've done a film on the minor league baseball park in Charleston, West Virginia, Watt Powell Park that they closed and built a new park.
Wow.
I've done a piece on John Brown, who raided Harper's Ferry and took over the U.S. Arsenal in 1859. Piece on the homesteads. I've even done pieces out of the state. I've followed a guy around in a bus that ran on vegetable oil and ate out a dumpster and hung out with homeless people, picked up hitchhikers for about 17, 18 days.
Is this like a, was he like freegan or?
No, he just believed that the U.S. creates too much waste and that you can go behind your Aldi's, your Kroger's, and you can find plenty to eat and feed other people.
Wow. And how well did the bus run on vegetable oil?
Good. Yeah, it ran pretty good, actually. Not necessarily vegetable oil, it's cooking oil.
Cooking oil?
I keep calling it vegetable oil because it was kind of a misconception I had in the beginning, and it's just a habit. But yeah, just use cooking oil. You just kind of pump it out from behind Chick-fil-A or a Mexican restaurant and go up the bus. And
now, is there a way that our listeners can get some of your other documentaries?
You know, the best way with PBS, you know, I don't own the rights to those, but I have a website, astraydogfilm.com. My newest film that I'm working on is called Romeo Must Hang, and you can go to romeomusthang.com and check that out. Gray Barker is theyknewtoomuch.com.
Yeah, we have theyknewtoomuch.com linked to our website and the Shades of Gray that people can purchase.
Yeah.
I got to put up your Stray Dog. Is it straydogfilms.com?
Yeah. Okay. A Stray Dog Film. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll make sure I link to that.
And the newest film is a man who spent time in Moundsville Prison and was hung there in 1931. Or, no, he was hung in 1932, the serial killer, Harry Powers.
Huh.
And that's the newest film we're working on and should be finished up sometime this year.
I have to, so he was a serial killer, and where did he operate?
Clarksburg.
Clarksburg?
Clarksburg, West Virginia, yeah. If you're familiar with the film that Robert Mitchum was in, Night of the Hunter.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was going to say, it seemed like it was very familiar to me. That's one of my favorite movies. That's, did he have the tattoos on love and hate on his...
No, that was something David Scrub wrote into the book. There was a man at the bar who had the love and hate tattooed on his hands in Clarksburg.
Yeah.
And he would tell David Scrub the story about the struggle between good and evil, love and hate. And so he just kind of adapted that into the movie.
Okay, and he was an author from Moundsville, if I remember right. David Scrub. He said a lot of stuff in Moundsville.
Yeah, he was born in Moundsville and moved to Clarksburg. So.
Okay.
There's all these Clarksburg connections.
Huh.
With Gray Barker being, you know, he spent most of his life in Clarksburg.
Wow. Now, when is your next film coming out?
It should be later this year. I'll probably keep it up to date on the website with RomeoMustang.com. And, you know, we're right now we're in post-production getting the story.
Why did you call it Romeo Mustang?
The newspaper, the media has a tendency to sensationalize violence and things. And one of the things he was called was Romeo. And he was called Romeo Bluebeard. And I adapted it from the newspaper articles,
okay.
You know, Romeo Mustang. So he was a Lonely Hearts murderer. He preyed on widows through dating services.
Nice.
Wow.
Nothing ever comes good out of them dating services.
No, I know it.
Yeah, and this is in 1931, and so, you know, you got to know your history or you're going to repeat it. So you got to be careful out there.
Yeah.
I was thinking, wow, dating services in 1931, too.
So any of you killers out there looking for an ad that says, lovely Lola looking for cowboy boot wearing stud.
Yeah. Be careful.
Now, are you ever up and willing, you know, in our area?
Yeah. We shot recreations for the film up there just recently. We were in the area, and I come through. I'm working on a project for the West Virginia Music Hall of Fame, and we'll be back up in the Wheeling area with the Wheeling Jamboree and
stuff
there.
Yeah, we're
a block away.
We broadcast the Wheeling Jamboree on here every Saturday night. Yeah, live.
Oh, cool. Well, I'll have to stop in to the studio for sure.
Absolutely.
Have to stop and see us.
That's awesome.
We're here, you know, every Tuesday night. I mean, so if you're here in the area. I mean, even if, you know, we have someone else, we just come
just
in.
Just come on
in.
We're always fun to hang out with.
Yeah. I have Nick's email address, so I'll get a hold of you guys.
There we go.
See what's going on in Wheeling.
We always like visitors.
Well, the Blues Fest is coming up, too. When is it? August 13th, I think. 14th? That thing is awesome. That's like 3 days.
Do a film on Jordan.
You know,
I like to visit Nuvrindavin up in the area, too.
Jordan can take you on quite the tour.
Yeah,
Nuvrindavin is interesting. It's fun to go hang out there.
Have you ever been?
Yeah, I've been a few times. And spoke with a few people. I've actually spoke to him about possibly doing a piece in the future.
You know, they have a hotel there.
Well, it's not a hotel. Well, it's they rent rooms out in the temple.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's we had the ghost hunt that we had just a few weeks ago. Our presenters that we brought in. We actually had them stay at the palace.
Yeah.
So Jordan got to go on a nice tour of the facilities, and it is an interesting. You know, what kind of angle would you go out with that? Because I mean, I know there's some history there. And you know, there's several stories you could take from the place.
The main thing I was interested in was their agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have a you know, the large self-sustained community.
Yeah, it is very self-sufficient.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in that aspect of it. The you know, they're basically setting up these organic farms and to sustain the community there. So that's kind of what I was talking to them about.
You know, I know one of the guys I know here that we actually have on the show, Martin Walk. He's actually, you know, works with them with their farming, you know, because he's interested in their ideas as well. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Fun fact, when I was in college, my bio lab partner just sent me a Facebook request, and she lives in Nuvrindavin.
There you go. All kinds of synchronicity.
I was like, huh, never knew.
Were just there.
I know. I could have went and hung out with a buddy, you know?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, yeah, when you come up to do that, let us know. I've never been up there, believe it or not. So, you know, it'd be kind of fun to go with somebody that's already been there and you know what you're kind of looking for. That'd be kind of fun. So, yeah, let us know.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Hey, Bob, I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Yeah, we are out of time.
We're running out.
Thank you for coming on because I know it was kind of last minute because I'm going to have to check our emails. If I made a mistake, I'm very sorry.
Yeah. Hey, it's no problem. You know, we'll make it happen. We're up in Philadelphia and I'm getting ready to head back to West Virginia, so it's going to be a late one.
Oh, so you're in Philly right now.
Have a Geno's for me.
I got to be at work in the morning.
Oh, great.
Oh, geez. All right, well, thank you very much. Let us know when you're in the area, and we'll have a good time.
Yeah, we'll hook up. I mean, no, that didn't sound good, but I mean,
easy, Lola. Easy, Lola.
I know what you're saying.
Okay.
All right, you guys have a good one.
Thanks, hey, thank you very
be
much.
Be careful coming home.
All right, thanks.
See ya.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Yeah, that did well, not
I'm,
come
I'm
off
I'm
going
to have
well.
To get the spray bottle out again.
I know. Jeez, oh, Pete.
Who was on the phone that called? They didn't want to be on the air?
That was Paula,
was Leo.
Oh, Leo.
Oh.
What?
Wanting Lola to get a
no.
second experience?
He just wanted to say that anytime he's ever been in the pen, there's never been any bats in there either. He thinks it's all related
really?
To Nick.
It probably
well, hey,
is,
hey,
Nick.
Hey.
I'm
Bob
never going.
Wilkinson also experienced the bats. Maybe it's. I don't know.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he said there was bats.
Oh.
That's
yeah.
two of us now. Jordan was there before.
But
well,
you were there also.
There were bats. Yeah, the first time I went, there were bats, but Nick was there.
He's
a batty kind of guy.
I don't think anybody that would purchase a ticket next year would complain if Nick wasn't invited.
I'll be like, hey, Jordan, so when's the trip? There's no trip, Nick.
We're not having a trip, Nick.
Hey, Nick, can you run out of the room real quick? Nick's out of the room.
That's how we roll.
Call here if you want tickets quick.
I don't know. It's kind of depressing hearing that Gray Barker was a hoaxer.
You know, it adds a little bit. Because he is one of those, I guess, colorful figures. You know. Maybe, I for some reason, I'm now thinking of him in the same line as P.T. Barnum or,
yeah.
or Ripley, kind of in the way.
Because I always thought him kind of an equal to John Keel, when apparently he was not.
And we talked to somebody. Was it Jeff Walmsley that said that Kim and Kill had a, I don't want to say falling out, but I guess a difference of opinions, and maybe that was one of the reasons. You know, Kill wanted to be a little more
real,
and
see, when you have a good story, though, you don't need to add all the fluff.
That's right.
I'm a good believer in that.
I want to see the film. I haven't had a chance yet, and I know it's up on Amazon if you want to find it. There's been people that you know that have went to watch different because he's shown it a couple of places. Wrote some really good reviews on Amazon. I just think it'd be interesting just because you know he is kind of the where the Men in Black come from, and you start you know wondering okay well where do we, especially running around chasing farm couples you know.
Well, I mean, he said he took a little bit of truth and added a whole lot of fluff, but John Keel wrote about the Men in Black.
Yeah,
and He took it all very serious, and I don't think he added a lot of fluff to it.
You've read Kill's book, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever had a chance to read The Silver Bridge?
No.
For some reason, I think that if you want to look real quick on while we've got a couple minutes left, on Google Books, I think it's up for free.
Really?
Yeah, so that might be, you might be able to cozy up on your couch one night with the Apple and your MacBook and read The Silver Bridge.
I don't want to sound like a DB, but it's a MacBook Pro.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Ay. Don't forget, drop Paula's recorder off.
Okay.
Yeah.
You I will tomorrow.
Done this?
Okay.
No, yeah. I was at the firehouse most of the day today.
Yeah. So there's a message on your machine at home, and you probably got me yelling at the dog at the tail end of it.
I'll
That's
cherish
okay.
it.
I'm sure you will.
I will cherish it.
You need to bring that message next week.
No.
That's all right.
Jordan,
do you watch The Middle?
The what?
The Middle.
Uh-uh.
All right. There's the littlest kid. He's kind of strange. So when he talks, he'll say, yes, and I was playing with the dog. I talk. He looks down and whispers like the last two words that he said. It's so funny. Jordan, I just love you.
You're the best of best.
Hey, that's it. I tell that.
I did get Steve Novotny singing his song he wrote on auto-tune.
What now?
I recorded
Steve
it in
wrote
auto-tune.
Steve wrote a country song.
He wrote a country
and
song.
And where did you get it on auto-tune?
Well, I set on my T-Pain app and said, hey, Steve, sing me your song.
Wait a second. Can we get this on the air right now?
How mad will Steve be? Will he be mad?
Where
You're
will
not going to see him. Go ahead.
Do it now. We'll get out of the station.
Yeah.
My My house burned down and my dog ran away. Just a couple moments of a country day, My check's in the box, but the car's broken down. Got no way of making it into town. It's a country life.
It didn't transfer well into the autotune.
Yeah,
it's
not that bad.
It's a country
wow.
life. The couch and the fridge are out on the porch. The yard's lit up by the tiki torch,
Sounds like Cher.
My granny's got a gun and my pappy's always sad. Dinner gets charred and always turns out bad. It's a country life. It's a life no different than anyone's others. We sing with the twang and wink at our brothers. It's a country life. We make our own shine and we drink like a sink. Liver's real bad and the brain can't think. My daughter is my
I think you got a text at that point. You had to exit out.
Looking kind of bad. It's country life. It's a life no different than anyone's others. We sing with the twang and wink at our brothers. It's a country life.
Steve Novotny, everybody.
Yeah.
Has he sung this on the air before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. At Jamboree at Thrills in the Hills.
Oh, did he? Oh, okay. T Novotny, I guess now.
T Novotny instead of T-Bone.
T-Bone.
Don't you say anything about T-Bone.
No, I was thinking because of, you know, the
T Novotny pain.
T Novotny pain. There you go.
Auto
T Novotny pain. That is amazing.
Yeah. I know it didn't transfer well into the. It didn't transfer well into the auto tune. I bet I'll get some hate emails from him later.
You just don't check them. That's all. That's what I do.
It'll all blow over before next week.
Unless you make it a ringtone.
With coming up next,
yeah.
Maybe we should put it on the Whispers app.
Can we do that? Yes, we can, actually.
Oh.
Bonus.
Oh, now you are cruising.
And he has the app.
Does he? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this will be fun.
Maybe I'll do that.
You know how to do it?
No, but I'll give it to you.
I'll explain it very quickly.
We'll get that. That'll be fun.
Okay, who's on next week, y'all?
Who we got?
Right now I have several people in the running. I'm just going to finish up verifying.
Oh, I hate when Nick has a job.
I know.
Me too, right?
All right, everybody. Stay tuned for next week when I'm sure awesome is going to happen.
I love awesome.
Now on whenever you say, what's up next week? Awesomeness.
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 Whispers Radio, full of awesomenicity.
That's bringing right. the awesome to you.
Make sure to check your Whispers Radio app on iPhone or iPod Touch.
Yeah, and actually, just for those that you know that are like, well, why do I get? You know, last week and the week before, we had those EVPs. We had Dwayne Claude gave me some. We played it on the radio, and we also played. Last week, the ones from Herb Street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those are all bonus, content on the iPhone app. That way you can, you know, if you wanted to list, you know, play one for somebody.
Awesome.
You can do it right away.
You're the man.
Well, I want you to forward me that email from Herb because I thought I had it saved on here. And I did, and so I was going to forward it to myself, but it's not. And I wanted to play it at home.
Okay.
So.
All right, everybody. Until next week. Don't be afraid, only believe.